Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yes, indeed. Welcome into our Friday edition of Sports Talk. It is December 6th. It is not an edition of Fans in the Pro today because Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister, they're traveling to New Jersey today ahead of the Sunday matchup for the New York Giants. The Saints getting an early start this week. They usually leave the day before, but I think Coach Riz wants to get up to the New Jersey area a little more. So me, Charlie Long, and Cullen Steele will be hanging out with you until 6 o'clock. Then we'll get into kickoff with Boomer and Valente. And, of course, 7 o'clock, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup Playoff Edition. Plenty of fun action going on there. Charlie, what a night of sports. We had a lot of fun stuff going on between Thursday night football being a great game, the LSU women's basketball yes. team with a comeback victory, taking it in overtime, and then also, hallelujah, the streak, ding-dong, is dead for the Pelicans.
I think we have kind of an order of operations here. Let's go in order that you mentioned.
All right.
We all won in pick six, Steve.
Woo-hoo!
It's a push. And for those out there that don't know, if it's a push in our pick six, I give us all a win. So, you know, the Lions and the Packers, they played a great game, as everyone expected. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And Dan Campbell, when it came down to it. And, you know, I kind of tuned in the second half once the Pels game was over. I think it's, you know, I kind of started around midway through the third quarter. But still, there was a ton of action. Josh Jacobs was awesome. 3 touchdowns last night. But then at the very end, where Dan Campbell's got like a 4th and inches call, he can kick the field goal to take the lead with like 40 seconds left. He goes for it.
Yeah, I ain't giving him any time.
I love Dan Campbell. You know, he's awesome.
Yes, yeah, everybody has been praising him. Obviously, you saw, I'm sure, his locker room post-game with the players. Just a guy that energy is so infectious, and you can tell his entire team loves him, and they seem to obviously love each other too. Hell of a run this Detroit squad has had, and what a turnaround he's had in Detroit for this franchise. They're going to start building a statue for him already out there.
Yeah, especially if he makes it too and wins the Super Bowl.
Hope to see him here, yeah.
The Detroit Lions, yeah, come down to New Orleans, Dan Campbell.
We miss you.
Yeah, have a beer. You know, so Dan Campbell, now the Lions are 12-1. So, you know, that was the big kind of swing game, I think, in the NFC North. Like, every Minnesota Viking fan, every Philadelphia Eagle fan was rooting on the Lions to lose that game, but they went at home by 3 points on a game-winning field goal. For those that didn't see it, Dan Campbell with, like, 40 seconds left at the opening, it was like the 25-yard line. He goes for a 4th and inches. They convert it. They run out the clock and kick the game-winning field goal, which is awesome to see. So now the Packers are still going to be a playoff team, obviously, in the NFC. They're a team to be feared, but it's kind of the hierarchy starting to separate, right?
Yeah.
Like, you see the Packers, you see the Eagles, and then there's a little bit of a drop-off where you see, you know, the group of the Packers and the Vikings, and then the division winners, potentially either the Seahawks or the Cardinals at this point out of the NFC West. And then the NFC South is just a disaster.
It's like that meme with the three dragons and the ones like
yeah,
the
right.
cross eyes and the tongue out.
The Godzilla villain, isn't that like King Ghidorah
yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's a little bit. You know, the NFC is starting to separate itself from the pack, the top teams, and it's Detroit and Philadelphia, and it just feels like they're kind of on a collision course for the NFC Championship game. But Detroit is trying to hold on to that, you know, home field advantage in the NFC. And right now with the 12-1 record, I'd say they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, they're mighty tough. And obviously that combo at running back is just so lethal and just keeps on, you know, pounding away, chip, chip, chip.
I mean,
just Steve, it's awesome.
You saw it like firsthand when you were a sideline reporter. Doesn't it remind you of like the Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara backfield,
right,
in like the late 2010s with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs? There's a lot of similarities there. I know they call themselves like Knuckles and Sonic or whatever.
Right.
And I think like what was the Ingram and Kamara were like Thunder and Lightning or whatever. So it's pretty similar. But yeah, I mean, they're so fun to watch. Their offensive
boom
line.
Boom and Zoom. That was Kamara.
Boom and Zoom. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. I was kind of close there. But yeah, it's a fun team to watch play. And you just feel really happy for Detroit that now, after all these years of futility, that they're finally a contender.
Looking at the action in Baton Rouge, we had the LSU women's basketball team taking on Stanford, and the Lady Tigers made that late push, tie the game up, send things to overtime, and then they end up coming away with a 94-88 victory over Stanford. Tigers now, what is it, 10-0 on the season for them? And pretty impressive run for Kim Mulkey and squad.
I want to go back to what Kim Mulkey said with this. I believe it was definitely last year. It was Michaela Williams' freshman year. And she said that Michaela Williams could be one of the best players to ever play in Baton Rouge for LSU women's basketball, to ever suit up. And that was on full display last night, Steve. 32 points, 12 of 18 shooting, 5 of 8 from three-point range, 9 rebounds. And as you mentioned, a come-from-behind victory, 94-88 over Stanford. So Michaela Williams, Kim Mulkey knew instantly that she could be special, and she had it on full display last night.
You mentioned Kim Mulkey, Michaela Williams. Well, after the game, they were asked about that PMAC faithful that ended up leaving the game a little early and missed out on some stuff, and here's what they had to say.
Michaela, you're obviously focused on what's going on the floor. Did you notice that a lot of people left the game?
I did, and I took names. I won't see them in church Sunday because I'll be gone, but I'll catch them next Sunday. I saw it. Sure did. We were down, I think, 7 with about a minute and something to go. Some of them turned back around.
Yeah. You know, once I saw them walking out, I was like, okay. Maybe
fair weather fans. Let me be the bad guy. I saw who they were.
Kim Mulkey has got your number, folks, that you left early. I think that's hilarious. She is awesome. And obviously, this Lady Tigers team rolling right now and anxious for them to start SEC play eventually.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I'm actually not sure. Is the SEC in women's basketball as good as it is in men's this year?
Yeah, I'd have to check the standings, honestly.
I would need a look because I know in men's basketball, it's a ridiculous.
The gauntlet, just like football, right?
No, I think they played like the ACC-SEC challenge or whatever. The SEC absolutely stomped the ACC.
Them, right?
It wasn't close. It was like 10-2 in those 12 games. So, yeah, the SEC is a gauntlet. It feels like in every sport. But, you know, I would have to do a little bit of research to see how good it is for the Lady Tigers once they get to conference play.
Then in the Smoothie King Center last night, even more joyous news. We are back in the win column, folks. And here's how it sounded on WWL Radio. John DeShazer and Todd Graffinini here on the call.
Booker between the legs. Herb's on him. And it's deflected. And
Herb.
The game
Herb.
Is over.
Herb. Put him in a straitjacket and finished it off.
Booker never got a shot off. Herbert Keyshawn Jones does it again defensively, and the Pelicans have snapped the 9-game losing streak. It is kerflooey.
Love the joyous call from Graff and DeShazer there. The Pelicans winning 126-124. And man, oh man, I know I was holding my breath there at the end, and I'm sure you were too, seeing Booker getting that ball.
Yeah, CJ missing the free throw, and I texted you. I was just like, oh boy. But then Herb Jones. I mean,
welcome back.
Yes. The stats about Herb Jones, and I'll pull him up here in just a second here, Steve. After the game, you heard Brandon Ingram say it when he was talking with Andrew Lopez on the television broadcast, that he's the heart and soul of the team.
Yeah.
Before he even came back, Trey Murphy said he's the heart and soul of the team. Last night, you saw it on full display. Herb Jones, first-team All-NBA defender, the heart and soul of the New Orleans Pelicans. He had been out since October 29th, and the Pelicans were in a complete rut without him. Now he's back. We'll see what they can do, because he's such a difference maker. And you look at the stat sheet, and he stuffs the stat sheet. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. That game-sealing block on Devin Booker, as John DeShazer has put it perfectly, that he put him in a straitjacket. I love to hear that. Herb Jones is fantastic. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA, definitely my favorite player on the Pelicans.
And seems to be a dude, too, that everybody rallies around.
Yeah. No, everyone loves him. When he had his jersey retirement for high school,
right,
like basically the entire team showed up for him. they all love Herb. Herb is a great player for this team. He's underpaid as well. But, I mean, I just love everything that he brings to the floor on any given night, especially on defense, but also, you know, his offensive game, too. He had a little bit of rust that he had to kick off in the first half, but he made some big shots in the second half, too. And when the moment was at its biggest, Devin Booker, who's historically destroyed the Pelicans, they threw Herb Jones on him. He didn't even get a shot off.
Right.
Blocked.
We mentioned defense. A big guy on defense. We're going to be joining us right here after this break. Former LSU Tiger and NFL great Patrick Peterson, now an Odyssey NFL insider. He'll be joining us breaking down all things NFL. We're going to take a break here on WWL and be right back with more. You can shout out with us and hang out. Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text Line 504-260-1870. Taking the break and be right back in 2 and 2. Shout out to Chuck Woolery, RIP, my man. Later.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I want to remind everybody, if you love high school football, stick around for the semifinal edition of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Ian Ozy and Alan Waddell and Coach Lou Valden coming at you at 7 o'clock. They're going to be featuring reports from all of the big games tonight. Catholic Baton Rouge at Edna Carr, Bunky at Dunham, Iowa at Franklinton.
Highway, sorry.
John Curtis at Alexandria and Madison Prep at Archbishop Shaw. And also the recap of Cecilia at Plaquemine. Plus, we'll give live interviews with the winning coaches. Don't miss the full coverage of the high school football semifinal on the most comprehensive high school football show in America, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. That's tonight, 7 to 10:30, right here on WWL and, of course, the free Odyssey app. Now, happy to be joined by Patrick Peterson, LSU royalty, NFL legend, joined by NFL Insider, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, First and Pod Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Pat P., thank you so much for the time. We are honored for your presence. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, and go Tigers.
Amen to that. And you know what? looking at you know, your career, obviously, we've heard so much from the Saints locker room with talking to Tyrann Mathieu, how much of an influence that you and your dad were for him right now coming out of college, and just really amazing stuff there. building that, you know, that brotherhood, I guess, throughout LSU and then carrying it into the NFL, those had to be some great times there.
Yeah, those were, like, you know, the best time of my life, best times of my life, because you had the opportunity to, you know, give someone something, you know, that you felt that can better them. And also you had the opportunity to build a friendship for a lifetime. You know, me and Tyron still talk, you know, to this day. You know, it sucks that we're not as close, far as in person as we used to, but we still have that open communication with one another, always checking in up on them. And it started back, you know, in 2009, you know what I mean? So it's just a blessing that we had an opportunity to cross paths and look at, you know, look where we are right now, you know, almost 13 years later.
Looking at the game last night, Thursday Night Football, those Detroit Lions keep on rolling. Big win over the Green Bay Packers. Man, oh, man, as a player, do you have to love what head coach Dan Campbell brings to the locker room and to the field, that intensity and also that aggressiveness on the field? I know, obviously, it's easy to look at it now that it worked and say, oh, what a brilliant move. But I would think that most of the players are in that corner, too, of going for it in most cases instead of just taking the safer way out.
Well, you know, in that situation, you know, I didn't mind, you know, them going forward in that situation. And Dan, we all know Dan Campbell. It's no secret that he's an aggressive play caller. You know, he's going to call the game aggressively. He wants his team to be aggressive, and they also want to gain the confidence from his team. And it shows that he has the confidence in his guys. So with that, I didn't have a problem with that because it was 4th and inches. They have one of the best offensive linemen group in the game. And if you can't get an inch, you know, with the game on the line, what are we doing? You know what I mean? So I didn't have a problem with that because they didn't want to give the Green Bay Packers an opportunity to go down and possibly take the game into overtime. So as Dan Campbell said in his press conference, he wanted his offense to end the game and be on the field so that they didn't give an opportunity for the Green Bay Packers to have an opportunity to go down there and try to tie the game. But in that situation, I didn't have a problem with it being 4th and inches with him going for it. But the one earlier in the game, before that one, on the minus 30, now that was a little questionable, especially with that play call that they end up calling, because if you go back and look at the game, Jared Goff converted 2 fourth-down red zone touchdown passes for touchdowns. And then in that situation, it was a long 1 yard. And they end up running a toss play when the running game really wasn't clicking up until that point.
Pat,
so
you started,
one I had a question about.
Sorry about that, Pat. You started out with saying go Tigers. I want to take you to college football real quick. Obviously, it was a very busy week with early national signing day. And, you know, Mike Dettillier has said this a couple times, and I agree with him. So I'll get your point on this first. But with the new era of the transfer portal, Mike has basically come out and said that he thinks that early signing day isn't necessarily as important as it used to be, and that, you know, maybe someday the transfer portal opening day is going to be as big as early national signing day. So I want to get your thoughts on that first, and then I'll get your thoughts on some comments made by Brian Kelly in his presser afterwards.
Well, you know, the college, you know, landscape is totally different from what it was when I was in school. I can tell you one rule or one aspect of the NIL deals or how it's orchestrated or this, that, and the other, but I do love the opportunity for the kids to, you know, transfer. But here is what I don't like about the transfer portal is I feel like it's watering down the league and watering down kids' process. Like when I was in school, it was okay to transfer because you felt like you wasn't playing or you felt like it was a better opportunity somewhere. Now kids are just transferring because they don't like the coach or they don't like the position that they're in. And I feel like when kids come into the league today, they don't have that same grind, that same grit, or that same passion for the game because it's been given to them so easy and early to where they lost focus on the main goal. You know what I mean? So the transfer portal, it is what it is. Like I said, I can't really speak on it because I don't really know the landscape of it with me being removed from college for, you know, God knows how long. But I think they definitely need to change the way that guys are transferring to these other schools because I think it's almost like a cop-out, and they don't have that same hunger and desire when they get to the NFL.
I'm going to jump back onto the NFL side of things, and I know you finished out your career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think Mike Tomlin gets enough credit throughout the league for the type of coach he is and what he's been able to do for the franchise. Obviously, just all he does is win every single year. Just what was it like working under a guy like him, and what is he like, you know, to be up in front in person with?
Man, it's unbelievable. I know a lot of people are now starting to see, you know, who, you know, Coach Tomlin is, you know, behind the scenes. But I had an opportunity and the pleasure to see that, you know, up close in person last year. And it was a pleasure because, you know, you hear so much about, you know, how it is to be around Coach Tomlin, how his team meetings are, how he communicates with the players. And now having an opportunity to do that last year, it was like, man, this is what everybody said it was, you know what I mean? And I just felt like me and Coach was just cut from the same cloth, the way we thought about the game, the way we wanted, you know, others to be successful in their own right. And yeah, man, now the world is getting an opportunity to see that because, you know, when we see him on a press conference, you know, you hear all the sayings and you hear all of, you know, everything that's coming with, you know, his speech. But you don't get the day in and the day out, Coach Tomlin. And what people are seeing is what you see on the podium is what you get every single day. And that's what I appreciate the most about Coach Tomlin. He didn't sugarcoat anything. He kept it real all the time. And he was just a spade for a spade. And as an older player, I couldn't do nothing but respect that.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Pat, the Saints and the Giants this upcoming weekend. Obviously, New York has been having a brutal year. They're 2-10. There's questions coming in about Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the head coach and GM of the Giants, and their future in that organization. And just the way that things have gone this year, you know, I think Giants fans maybe didn't have the highest of expectations, but it feels kind of like rock bottom for that franchise right now. What are your kind of thoughts on the Giants ahead of the Saints matchup?
Man, the Giants are definitely at rock bottom. You know, obviously, you know, not having, you know, sustainable quarterback play, losing seven in a row. This can possibly be 8 in a row. Defense don't have many turnovers, you know, can't sack the quarterback. So that, with all of that, it makes it very, very difficult for you to win. So I see the Saints winning this ball game in a close ball game. I love what the Saints have been doing ever since the firing of Dennis Allen. The team just seemed like they're playing with a little bit more juice and a little bit more fire. So that's good to see. And, I think the Saints should win this ball game due to the state that the Giants are in right now.
I'm just curious for you, with the, it seems like the rash of injuries throughout the NFL right now, especially the soft tissue injuries with players, is just at a ridiculous high. And I'm not sure what contributes to it. There's a lot of, you know, theories about maybe the off-season training programs are not as intense anymore, so these players, the players' bodies aren't, you know, ready for this grind. And I'm just curious your opinion if you think that's a valid excuse.
No, not really. You know, soft tissue injuries are gonna happen. You know, that's just something that's out of our control. You know, just like any other injury. You know, you want to do all you can to make sure that in your off-season training to make sure none of those things happen due to the overload and the things that goes into, you know, NFL season. But at the end of the day, I feel like that's one of those things that's hard to kind of avoid because a soft tissue issue is something that's inevitable to try to avoid. So I don't think that has nothing to do with it.
Pat, definitely appreciate the time. Enjoy all your work, and obviously appreciate everything you do on the field and now off of it. Looking forward to hearing more from you.
Yeah, man, you guys take it easy.
Thanks, Pat.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Patrick Peterson, host of the Odyssey original podcast, First in Pod Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll hear what Darren Rizzi had to say as the black and gold get ready for their trip out to New Jersey to take on the New York Giants on Sunday. Coming right back after this here on WWL. Awesome stuff hearing from Patrick Peterson there. We're going to get into some more Saints talk right now. The final practice report for Week 14 came out. We know that Taysom Hill, Bub Means, and Nick Saldiveri, I can't even read my own writing, sorry guys, those three are out for this game against the New York Giants. Meanwhile, questionable is Tano Passanio and also Kendra Miller, who was a full go of practice all week. Hopefully he will be able to be activated for this game and in action, because surely they need some help in that backfield with Taysom down and a whole bunch of other weapons in that wide receiver group. Anyway, Coach Darren Rizzi addressed the media before they flew out for the East Coast, and here's what Riz had to say as they get ready for the Giants.
Did you do anything different throughout practice this week? I know you're typically looking at changing things as you can, but just with it being coming off of the loss, I mean, was there a different approach at all this week?
Listen, we're just trying to focus on the things that we haven't done well. Obviously, we were outside a couple times this week. Naturally, we kind of got rained out yesterday a little bit, but we were outside Wednesday, outside Friday. Try to make, you know, the focus, some of the things we haven't done well. You know, I mentioned to you guys third down. Yesterday was third down day. We put a really big emphasis on the third down stuff. I think that's going to be a big part of what we do moving forward, not just in this game, but all the games. You know, try to make the second half of practice. We haven't played particularly well in the second half, in my opinion, not only in this three-game stretch, but maybe overall in the season. So try to put an emphasis on the second half of practice and kind of finishing strong. And so just really the things that, you know, so other than just being outside and focusing on the things we got to improve on, that's really, really, so nothing, I wouldn't say there's any major.
Firstly, when you started with them as the interim, you had talked about upping the tempo in practice. Is that maintained throughout?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're still getting, you know, like Derek mentioned that first week, just the more reps, the volume, the intensity's actually picked up. It's been really good. I thought we had a really good day today outside. I was happy when I left my house this morning again with the cold weather. It's the coldest day of the week, and we had a little cool weather today because obviously it's something we're not accustomed to. So I'm glad we were able to go out and be a little bit cooler out there today. So yeah, all those things. I thought our tempo of practice. I haven't seen it. You know, I know the question has been asked about a drop off. You know, coming off of a game that we didn't win, and I haven't seen anything like that. I just walked through the locker room on the way here. Our energy's good. Our intensity in practice has been good, and now we got to bring that to the field. So that's going to be the important thing. Bring that on Sunday.
Malik Neighbors leads all rookies in catches. From what you've seen on film from him, what does that impress you?
Well, yeah, listen, I really liked the player in the draft process a lot. I really liked Malik Neighbors a lot in the draft process. I, you know, he was very, very highly thought of, at least by me. I think some other people in the building too. And so it doesn't surprise me that he's, you know, had immediate success in the NFL. He's a very, very talented guy. He's obviously he can do a lot of different things. He can push the ball down the field to him. He's a catch and run guy, and so you know, listen, he's one of the things I think I mentioned earlier in the week is he's one of their players that could create explosive plays. That's always, again, that's been a little bit of our Achilles heel, is giving up too many explosives. And so when we're looking at it from a game plan standpoint and how we're going to try to win this game, that's going to be a big part of it is eliminating. I don't know if you're going to eliminate all of them, but we certainly have to try to minimize those. And that's what he does really well.
Second half struggles, I know, like, you hear about halftime adjustments being kind of overblown, but how much is, like, are you guys noticing the defense is reacting to what you guys did in the first half? Is there anything?
I'm going to agree with you. I think the halftime adjustments are way overblown, because by the time you get in there and go to the bathroom, it's time to come back out on the field. I think the thing that's not overblown, though, is that you're making adjustments all game long, both in all three phases, because, you know, there's going to be those unscouted looks. You know, we practice all week. We think we know what we're going to get. There's a lot of good coaches in this league in all three phases. And there's going to be some things that you're not prepared for, you know, week in and week out. And I really think that's a huge part of success in all three phases, is how the players react and how well they're prepared for the uncarded, unscouted, whatever you want to call them, the looks that you weren't necessarily. And so you got to kind of follow your, you know, day one rules in a lot of those situations. So whether that's pass protection or run blocking or, you know, their run scheme or their pass protection or if it's a, you know, different combination of routes, how you handle that as the game goes on is a huge part, you know, of the wins and losses. And so I think it's not just a halftime adjustment. I think it's just in-game adjustments overall. We haven't done a great job coming out of the locker room. Just look at our first two drives on both sides of the ball the last 3 weeks. We haven't done well, and that's been an emphasis here coming out of halftime. You know, sustaining success all game long. We've had too many peaks and valleys, in my opinion, and that's been the emphasis.
That was Coach Darren Rizzi today addressing the media before they took off for New Jersey, and the Saints have just placed Taysom Hill on injured reserve. No surprise there. Obviously not practicing all week, was out for this game, and them now moving him to the IR list. It'll get well soon, Taysom Hill, obviously, but I think we're all anticipating a big win for this Saints squad Sunday in New York. We've heard from a bunch of people, including Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, calling this Giants team, this franchise, a clown show right now. They're in such disarray over there.
He's not wrong. I mean, this is a team that's looking to the 2025 draft. They're trying to see whichever quarterback they're going to take, if it's going to be Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders at the top of this upcoming draft. I mean, they're a rebuilding squad. They're 2-10. They're a disaster on both sides of the football. And real quick, to what Coach Rizzi was talking about with Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports, and I put this in the Sports Flash earlier, Steve. Malik suffered a hip flexor injury on Thursday, in Thursday's practice. He was at DNP today, so his status is apparently up in the air.
Right, he's listed as questionable for them.
Right, he's listed as questionable, but we'll see if he actually plays. But he apparently suffered a hip flexor injury in practice this week as well. So, you know, their best, you know, weapon, player on offense, just in general, could potentially be out. So that's just another piece. I mean, they're already missing Dexter Lawrence, who's their best player on defense. So, yeah, the Giants are a mess.
We are taking a break. When we get back, more sports talk. Want you to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. We'll be talking some Tulane football, too, as they get ready for the AAC Championship matchup tonight in Chile, West Point, New York, taking on Army. So we'll be right back with more right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. The Black and Gold away this weekend. But do you want to win tickets to the next Saints home game when Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders are in town? That's December 15th. In the Caesar Superdome, well, you can score two premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. That's an open bar with premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet with celebrity chef Aaron May, and it's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. You just got to go to WWL.com/contest and enter for your chance to win the tickets to the Saints battling the Washington Commanders from Dudley the Bossier, official injury lawyer of the Saints and Saints Radio WWL. Getting back into that big Pelicans win last night, for all those, you know, trashing this team, it's amazing how you look when you have some pro players back in the lineup. We talked a lot about Herb Jones, obviously, but man, oh man, B.I. was in fuego last night.
Yeah, he was in fuego in the third quarter, and then he made some really bad plays in the fourth quarter. And I'm not going to, you know, dog on B.I. because the 21 points that he had in the third quarter helped contribute to that 45-point third quarter that the Pels had,
yes, sir,
which really was the biggest key in the comeback. They were down 11 at half, and then the third quarter they just went on this huge run, and a majority of it was sparked by B.I. Now, I'm not going to let him off the hook for the turnovers that he had in the fourth quarter where he wasn't playing very well. But still, 29 points and returning from injury was huge, obviously. And we'll talk more about Herb Jones because he deserves all the love. And I do have that stat. I will read it after the top of the hour news.
We're taking a break for the top of the hour news. When we get back next hour, we'll be talking more NBA. Nick Friedel, Odyssey NBA insider, will join us. Been too long. Looking forward to hearing from him. So taking a break and be back with more sports talk right after this on WWL.
Hey, y'all. It's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era. So join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.